Make sure everything's good. All right. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're watching The Night Owl. So we are back. We are in Bridgeport. We are with the Not So Late live stream show. This is the location. So we're still doing our crossover podcast, and we're going to go first today. I know, Matthew, you were here last time. I think it was just you hosting with Jimmy and Ian. How did that feel? Because that was the first time that you hosted with them.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Chatted about some crazy things, huh?
Because we didn't have a guest. As always, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have guests. We get a little wild. we wanted to say hello to you guys. I know it's been a crazy week. I know for me, I've been like all over the place, trying to be here, trying to be there, trying to be like at every party, every event. But this weekend, we're going to be celebrating my grandma's 94th or 95th birthday. So that's Sunday. And we have Pride Month, which we're like in the first or second week now. The weather's been getting better. We've been having that beautiful spring rain, spring sunshine, you know, consistency with the weather now. It's not too cold anymore. We have, you know, nice days, right?
Yeah, it's been great, wonderful here. I mean, not too hot, not too cold, although it looks like maybe next week's going to heat up. But yeah, I mean, you can't get enough of it here.
Yeah, I really am excited about that because, you know, when you have those, I think we even had like a tornado watch like a couple of days ago, which was kind of exciting. I've been doing my DJ gigs. I have a few more left. I am going to be playing on Pride weekend, so save the date for the 26th. It's called Backlot Bash. You can look them up on Instagram, and then they have their website in the bio. So go to Backlot Bash, buy some tickets. I'm going to be DJing. I'll be opening for a few other DJs, other performers. And it's going to be one of those gigs where it's going to be somewhat familiar to me because it'll be gay pride. Obviously I'm in that category, but also I'll be playing for mostly women, which will be really, really fun because most of the events that I go to are predominantly men, which is fine, but it'll be really, really fun to play for all these women from maybe all over the world. I mean,
yeah, exciting.
The Pride Parade brings in, and even just other festivals, they bring in people from all over the world. You would not believe it, but I mean, now we have Blues Fest coming up. So definitely start making your summer plans, bring some sunscreen, wear a mask if you feel like you need to, and just be happy and be safe. So I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And this is the Night Owl Chicago, an all-inclusive podcast that talks about music, art, and life, and everything
in between.
So what did you have today for us, Matthew? I think you had a story pertaining to gay pride.
No, maybe pertaining particular to gay pride month here. Apparently there was going to be a pride parade held this weekend or maybe next weekend in Aurora, Illinois. If you don't know where that is, it's one of the far suburbs here of Chicago and one of the I think right now the second largest city in Illinois. Well, they have elected not to allow or permit the Pride Parade to take place that weekend, citing the fact that not enough police officers. But when you dig deeper into it, you realize this scuttle got started all because the organizers of the Pride Parade had asked the police department for those officers that were going to march in the parade, could they not dress in full uniform? In other words, could they not wear their badge and their gun, perhaps maybe wear some, you know, like a polo or some fun alternate type of uniform? No, they weren't talking about to the ones on duty, but to the ones marching in the parade. And as a result of that, the mayor came up with the idea that they are 70 officers short and will not be able to conduct or have that parade. And if you don't know who the mayor of Aurora is, he is one Dick Irvin, Richard Irvin, who is backed by Ken Griffin, who is running for governor of Illinois. He is running as a Republican, and it appears and looks like that this smells like just some political stunt just to gain votes. So Dick Irvin, you suck.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I would suggest Pride in Aurora go ahead in March instead of parade. Now it's a protest, and what are they going to do? They can't stop that. So I say go ahead and have a parade and march.
So I wanted to bring forth some Chicago bests. I've been checking the emails, you guys. I did go back to just ignore the cat over here. That's crazy. What are you doing? Okay. We have a crazy guest. You know, we gave her too much catnip, I think. So I have a couple. You guys gave me a couple of emails. I've been going through the emails, and I wanted to just kind of find some that were lighthearted. So one of you guys gave me a list of things to do in Chicago for summertime, best things about Chicago. I think there's one that's like a best hot dog. There's like the best bar. So we're going to go down the list. So this one is about the most hidden bar in Chicago. It says there's something mysterious about an establishment that thrives on people quietly sharing its location. Discovering the location of a secret bar adds an element of wonder to a night out. There are a handful of secret bars scattered throughout the city, but there can only be one that stands out from the rest as being the most hidden bar. According to the list compiled by Livability, the most hidden bar in all of Chicago is the Chicago Magic Lounge. The only way guests are able to enter through the secret doors is of a laundromat. She can open it. Do you want to open? I get it. You got it, Bubba? It's okay. There you go. is the Chicago Magic Lounge. The only way that guests are able to enter is through doors of an inside of a laundromat. Now, I actually have heard of this, and I have a friend who works there. I remember them telling me that that was how you get into this. It's like a speakeasy. And we have several speakeasies throughout the city. I think the Chicago Magic Lounge was one of them. And there's a couple of them scattered around. And then there's like key clubs, which are memberships.
Yeah.
But they're kind of doing away with that. That's still a New York thing. And then if you even want to go further, there's those restaurants without a sign, you know, and you don't know. You just have to look in to kind of see if it's a bar or not. The only way that guests are able to enter is through the inside of a laundromat. So the bar doubles as a venue that hosts magic shows. And there's a bookcase full of magic-related books that can be checked out. So if you guys are, you know, wanting to maybe partake in some magic and maybe start up your magic career, this is a place you could go. Here's what Livability had to say about the most hidden bar in Chicago. Below a neon sign reading Misdirection, guests entered through a laundromat complete with secret doors inside to find the Magic Chicago Magic Lounge. Part speakeasy bar and part magic show. Guests can stay at the bar and imbibe a signature cocktail like the popular Smoke and Mirrors, which is Mezcal, Amaro, and Fernet. That's the mixture. That's fancy. Or they can buy a ticket to a magic show at one of the Chicago-based lounges, two theaters. Don't forget to check out the library inside, full of magic memorabilia and books. So I will put the link in here so you guys can check it out. And I thought this was kind of interesting. Here's this place. This is the best place to hunt for records in Chicago. So calling all DJs and music fanatics. This is a place that you can go for the best. This is the best place you can go to hunt for records in Chicago. This is by 103.5 Kiss FM. This is the source. So it's a reliable source. It says hunting for records should be considered as a professional sport. There's a lot of consideration that goes into finding the perfect record to add to your collection. The condition of the record, the genre, and the price are just a few factors that go into finding the best of the best. Though Chicago is filled with great record stores, only one can be the best place to hunt for records. According to the list compiled by Livability, they're on it. Livability's on it, okay. Chicago is one of the best places to hunt for records in the country. In the country, guys.
In the country.
In the country. The best record store in the entire city is Reckless Records. Now, Matthew, we had done an episode about this, but there was no volume. There was no sound. So we're gonna share it again. Only you and I know this. So you're the only one that's going to hear this twice. This record store is known for selling some of the highest quality vinyl in the country. It says Chicago, Livability says that Chicago is home to a massive blues and jazz scene, which they're doing this weekend, I think, with the Blues Fest.
Jazz. Jazz Fest.
Jazz Fest, with artists from Sam Cooke to Jennifer Hudson, finding their start there. According to, the cat's distracting me. okay, along with being home to tons of historic live venues, it's also home to a trendy record shop chain, Reckless Records. Reckless Records began across the pond in London, but it made its way to Chicago in 1989. Today, they have three locations in the Windy City and an amazing reputation for being grade A sellers, as well as buyers of great music, especially vinyls. So, Reckless Records, I had mentioned in our last episode, we made an episode, I think about a month ago, about this. And I mentioned that I used to work right next to Reckless Records at a salon. It used to be called the G-Spot. I think now it's moved to like a studio salon. But I remember people would just wait outside in line to get into that store when they did signings. So they would have artists that would show up to the record store, and they would sign their own vinyl records, which was really cool. So I mean, people used to do that with like metal. You know, they used to go. You know, you see any artist, they would sign like us. In my day, it was CDs, because I've seen like Mandy Moore, and I've seen a couple of other artists that would sign their CD. And then you keep it. So I remember I would go outside and I would say to the people, like, hey, if you guys have time, you can go in and get a haircut, get a discount if you get a record. So that was how I made my money. That's how I made my clients. But I would just remember, Matthew, hours. People would wait in hours to get into that store. And it's not a big store, at least the one that's located by in Wicker Park. So then I think the last one I had was, let's see. Oh, this was the hot dog one. So this is the best place, the best Chicago style hot dog in all of Chicago. Now, I think Chicago is known for their hot dogs, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Stuck up about their hot dogs.
Yeah. No ketchup, please. No ketchup. Because we have so many other toppings you can use. Why would you want to ruin it with ketchup? I mean, I agree. Like, I feel like if it's a good hot dog, you have the right amount of toppings, you don't need ketchup. Ketchup's going to ruin it. Now, if you're just having ketchup or mustard, you can have both. Look at her. She'd go crazy. The hot dogs served at this Chicago hot dog vendor are so large that they have to make their own hot dog buns. According to a list compiled by Secret Chicago, the best Chicago-style hot dog in the entire city can be found at Super Dog Drive-In. Now, if you guys don't know where Super Dog Drive-In is, I would say it's like still up north. You know, it's still up north, like Saugatuck area. We drive past it all the time. Are you playing around? You're so cute.
Look at you.
No, I'm sorry. This is Jimmy's cat. And she's so cute.
I know. You like hot dogs? You like hot dogs?
She's like, what about a kitty dog? A kitty hot kitty. You can't say hot kitty, right? No, you can only say hot dog. So I remember we drive past it all the time. And Matthew, when I used to date a guy who lived in Park Ridge, that was like our fun place to go, because they not only are their hot dogs good, but they have like the malt shakes and like the curly fries. And I mean, it's a really good place. You can sit and eat in your car. And they have these two hot dogs on top, yeah, like the girl and the guy. You
know, kind of a... So it says that
they said that they are known for heavily topping their extra large hot dogs with some of the best ingredients. Super Dog Drive-In is one of the most iconic hot dog vendors in Chicago and something of an architectural landmark, with its giant anthropomorphic hot dogs on the roof and distinctive neon kitschy sign. It's also home to one of the most distinctive hot dogs in the city, though at Super Dog, you might as well have your own hot dog in a realm of its own. According to the owner and operator, Lisa Drucker, what you'll get at Super Dog is thicker and heavier than the dogs you get at most places. The dogs are extra large, so large, in fact, that while other hot dog vendors bulk buy traditional poppy seed buns, Super Dog apparently has to have custom-made buns made especially for their hot dogs.
Custom buns.
Yeah. So I'll share all those links up there in the description. And did you have anything else you want to talk about? Any other topics?
Oh, I don't know, maybe more in the what you're watching. I know
we can talk about that.
We haven't quite completed it, and it's still out there. And I see that I think the second half is going to begin, I think, July 1st. And it's talking about Stranger Things, and I don't really want to
spoil too much
or talk too much.
What do you think about it? Like, we could talk about it.
I don't really want to talk too much about it, other than I've seen it, like I told you recently, a recent article, and it does seem like if you have seen this season, there is a theme in it. And if you kind of picked up on that theme being one that was very prevalent throughout the 80s and the 90s, and that was the Satanic Panic. Right, the belief that boy, kids dressed in black and long hair, and
which we now call goth in the 90s,
kind of looking kids, they must be the Satanism, and Satanism,
yeah,
is
they're evil, and they're stabbed, they're committing murders everywhere.
I'm bringing it up because there's a new character. Those of you who have been following that series know that it's in fourth season here. Well, they've introduced a new character called Eddie Munson. Yeah, not related to the Munsters. That's another note, because I see here recently that was also released a preview to that movie. But that's another time, another place, right? So this Eddie Munson character is kind of, he's the center of the Satanic Panic, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he is based on
and trigger warning, just so you know. Trigger
he is
warning.
Based on an actual person in real life, one that I was kind of surprised to read about when I was reading this article on Yahoo. The Duffer Brothers lay claim that Eddie Munson is based on one Damien Eccles. And if you don't know who that is, he is the oldest of three teenage boys that was accused of murdering three young boys in the early 90s, better known as the West Memphis Three. There was a documentary about it in the early 90s that kind of the background or the soundtrack was all Metallica, which was kind of interesting considering that's what those kids had listened to.
If you play it backwards, you could hear the devil.
And that's what they were accused of, it being devil worshipers. Well, I mean, this Damien Eccles has an amazing story of where he has literally, I would say, been to hell and back. If you know the story of the West Memphis Three, you know that they eventually did get out of jail, though all three were convicted, all two of them sentenced to life, and Damien Eccles was actually sentenced to death. But DNA testing, and they would eventually get out.
Because that was like the early 80s, right? So they didn't have DNA testing.
It's kind of interesting that character, now when I kind of look at some of these episodes, it's in a little bit of a different light. I struggle a little bit to see the Eddie Munson and how he is related to Damien Eccles, but I do think it's kind of interesting that the Duffer Brothers based it off a real person who did get caught up in all of that and almost lost his life due to it.
So it does say on the Daily Mail, it said this was posted a day ago, that the directors of Stranger Things actually did this on purpose. Because I don't know if you, I remember you saying that it was on purpose that they did this.
Yeah, no, as you
but
can
I think
kind of see,
maybe
this
that's what the,
season
these people
four
were
has a theme, and that is that Satanic Panic, that issue of that, again, you know, here we are rushing to judgment. You know, somebody that's a little different, maybe a little rough around the edges.
That they could be dangerous.
That they clearly must be dangerous then, uh-huh. Right? Or they're part of this Satanism and this cult that's coming to get all that.
When stuff. The people that are against them are like there's characters in this season. I'm gonna say it without spoiling it, but they want to change the narrative, and they want to create a narrative that is comfortable for them, so that it's okay to hurt these people that they're accusing, right? So sometimes misinformation, like what we had a lot during the Trump, you know, presidency, the Trump administration, they create things that aren't there, or just out of fear, or, you know, they don't understand it. So they create their own narrative that makes them feel safe so that they can get more people on their side. It's always us versus them. You're different. I don't like it. So I'm going to create something just to make you look bad. And it's really scary. It's a tidal wave, right? It goes so quickly, and then all the real truth gets lost in the shuffle.
No, it's just all part of that. If you really look at it, that mob mentality and how individuals, we can have a brain, but you put us together, and there really is such a thing as mob mentality.
Oh yeah,
it doesn't have
it's
a
very,
high
very...
IQ. It's very yeah. We're not.
You gotta look inward. We have to look inward, really.
Well, I thought that was interesting. So if those of you are watching that, then you may, you know, do a little more research. And I would encourage you all to go look up that story, then go check out that documentary, although it's you know, more than a few 20, 25 years old.
Have you seen other shows like that talked about it, or have you seen it come up in
crime? There are other documentaries about it, but the one that the Duffer Brothers are referencing is the one that came out in the 90s. That is the one that has Metallica as the soundtrack to it. Okay. It's the one that I've seen. I have it on VHS.
You do?
But it's there's been plenty of other documentaries.
How about your age there, Matthew?
Damien Echols has written 4 books, including one that was about quite a bit of his journey from that point in time to where he was finally released out of prison. He's gone on to write 3 more books, kind of a little bit about that, but a little bit not. I mean, like I said, he's a real interesting individual. He is somebody who I would say has literally survived hell and been back. So. Yeah, I mean it's kind of interesting. Like I said, that is their muse for this one particular
character. I think it's awesome. I think it's so good.
In general, that they have picked on an element that definitely existed in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, I think that it makes sense because I even told Matthew that I like this 4th season. I think it's still very, I think it's even darker. I mean, the 3rd one was really dark with how it went, but. This one's a little bit more psychological, and it's still, to me, very, very much where you feel like you're in the 80s. Matthew, you were a kid during the 80s. I was born in the 80s, but I think it still looks so real. You know, it's not, it doesn't look out of place. It doesn't look cheesy or cheap. It's very good production. Like, I'm going to be so sad when we finish this last season. I might rewatch it again.
We still got a few more to go for the first half, and the second half, I believe, comes out July 1st. So,
yeah. So they said,
that is all that I have.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to share all these links because then that way you guys can see. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure stories if you want us to read any stories that you have, any topics that you want us to talk about, like we did tonight. Our email is thenightowlchicago@gmail.com. thenightowlchicago@gmail.com. And where can they watch our podcast?
Anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.
Yes, we are. You can listen and watch. YouTube, we have all of our like streaming platforms are on, you know, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and then Instagram. We have, you know, our photos that are accompanied by links, and then you can listen to us. We have audio every other week. I think we have to do an audio one before you go because we are kind of behind on that. But stay tuned. I'm going to keep the Not So Late live stream show streaming on our YouTube. So if you want to keep watching, just sit tight and keep watching. Stay tuned. Thank you guys so much. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're watching
The Night Owl.